Tonight on the Big Footy Podcast, we talk about the win over North Melbourne, we talk about the upcoming game against the Gold Coast, and we talk all about Carlton's father-son prospects, both past, present, and future. All this and more, coming right up. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a somewhat chaotic and brand new episode of the Big Footy Boys podcast. This is episode number 17, and we're glad to have you back with us. Joining me on this podcast tonight is Mod Supreme, the Old Dark Navies.
Good evening, gentlemen.
And Happy Dude is also here again.
I can never think of anything to say here.
And Justin Battler rejoins us this week.
Good evening.
And guys, it's a pleasure to have you all back on here on this, what is now a regular Thursday night podcast. The teams are out. I trust you've all looked it all up, because I sure as hell haven't. And so, what were your highlights from the win?
Just before we do that, we can't let this podcast go without acknowledging your supreme effort in being here on your birthday. On behalf of all the Big Footy Blues, we wish you a very happy birthday and hope it was a good one, mate.
It has been, and I like to think that having reached 37, that my life is now complete, and I've got my two kids, I've been married, I've pretty much done it all, and so it's been a long innings, and I'm pretty much ready to, you know, get stuffed in a cardboard box and fried.
37? I read that Wookiees can live to 400.
700, actually, but that's beside
700.
The point.
700? I found a page called Wookiepedia.
Oh, yes, there was one, because that was what I was going to call my website at one point, but it already existed. Anyway, we digress. Gentlemen, it was a big week for us last week. We got up over North Melbourne, despite every expert predicting that we would fail, because North Melbourne were just too good for us. So, guys, what were your highlights, perhaps, from that match, and how did you see that match? The Old Dark Navies.
The highlight is winning. It doesn't come any simpler than that. Holding on for a 1-point win when I thought we were going to get overrun again. It was a battle of two of the worst four-quarter sides in the competition this year, and North Melbourne, who usually in the position where they get run down from behind, almost did it to us. So I can't say any more, mate. The highlight is a 1-point win and how beautiful it was.
Excellent. And Happy Dude, you were at the game?
Yeah, I was. Pretty much the same thing. Everyone can pick out negatives about anything, but 1-point win, you enjoy them. They don't come often, but they are good.
Yeah, and Jab, how did you see it, Mark?
Pretty much the same way as these blokes, really. It was a battle of the three-quarter teams. I think that's a great phrase. I mean, geez. But I'll take that 1-point win because it's broken the hoodoo. We beat Saints and then North.
Yep. Just a brief recap. Carlton, 16-13-109, defeated North Melbourne, 16-12-108. The goal kickers for Carlton, Garlick kicked 4, Henderson kicked 3, Yaron and Betts and Kerno and Tui 2 apiece, and Murphy chucked in with 1. The best for Carlton, according to the AFL website, were Garlick, Henderson, Kerno, Simpson, Cruiser and Murphy. There were no injuries. And 37,000 people turned up to Etihad. I'm with you guys on this. I think we won a game that we had to win. It wasn't pretty, but in the end we got over the line, or fell over the line really, because they nearly caught us. And if Harvey hadn't overrun the ball, we might be singing a different tune this week.
Yeah, look, we were down in just about every stat going. All the major stats that matter, except we won free kicks, which must be a first for North Melbourne, because they get more free kicks than anybody this year. And Carlton have actually come out ahead of the ledger, and it's probably given us the win.
Yeah, I noticed that, and I was quite pleased with that too. Mm. Yeah, the one thing I'd like to point out was with all our lack of disposals, like compared to theirs, obviously, is continued a trend that I did also point out last week.
What was that?
That North Melbourne's opponents tend to have a lot less disposals than them, which shows that teams that beat them do it when they try and run the ball instead of overuse it through the midfield.
Yeah, that's a fair call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were up in tackles though, so I think we did have a fair work ethic right throughout the game. So
I think we definitely tried. We just faded in the last quarter, and it's been a problem that we've had all year. And
is our game plan very taxing?
I think it takes some getting used to for the team.
It's a bit of both. I reckon our blokes get tired.
Yeah, that's what I reckon.
I tell you, it was good to see Cruiser played a really good game against the highly rated Goldstein. I thought he was outstanding.
Cruiser was brilliant. Cruiser, Henderson. I thought Lucas put in a good effort too.
Yep.
Best game this year.
Yep.
I thought Jammo was really hard done by, mainly just because they really did pepper the forward line, North Melbourne, especially in that first half. Like where they were just throwing, like the ball was just getting delivered so well to Petrie.
Yeah.
And there was almost nothing Jamison, who is shorter, who is smaller, he's not as strong. Like, Petrie had a lot on him, and I thought Jamison wasn't as bad as people are making him out to be in some sections.
Petrie's almost the size of Cloak, except much more mobile, and probably takes as good, if not better, a mark. You know, like, no small feat to sort of play very well against a player that, and he gets far better delivery from North than Cloak gets from Collingwood.
If Petrie was at a better club, he'd be a massively dominant forward.
Oh, he'd be a superstar.
But, yeah, the only thing that I sort of saw wrong with Jammo's game was there was a couple of disposals where I'd say a little bit un-Jammo-like, but other than that, like, I'm not... Yeah, he didn't do too badly besides a couple of times he kicked it either out on the full or...
Yeah, there was a few out on the full.
Yeah. Just a little un-Jammo-like. It wasn't a terrible game. It was just with a couple of those disposals, but he's spoiling and everything else. He still did quite well.
I've noticed a lot this year. Jammo, a couple of times. Henderson's done it a few times. Getting caught with a ball just inside 50. So just sort of hesitating, not looking for that first option. And I don't know whether it's a lack of awareness or what, but it's just strange to see those guys who are usually so composed getting caught holding it sort of one out with no teammates around to come and support them. Every time it costs us a goal when that happens. But... it's probably a little bit of an aberration this year, but it's certainly frustrating.
It's how they're structuring up down the back, obviously, because the guy that gets caught with a ball usually doesn't have any other options.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe there's somebody's not. They're not supporting defensively. Maybe they're just getting too far ahead of them. I don't know, but.
You blokes might disagree, but to that, I've noticed Walker's very good when he's going to get the ball, right? And he happens to be there and not on the bench, and he's actually calling the shots. But he does quite often miss a tackle or not be anywhere in support of someone else.
I've also noticed teams like Port Adelaide did it to us. We did it with St Kilda as well. We let teams run too easily down the field when we do turn it over, which does catch out, say, Jammo or Hendo in that one-on-one position where they don't have any support because the ball's just come back at them very fast. And I think that's a lack of defensive pressure from the midfield.
Mm, yeah.
Allowing that matchup to occur.
Yeah, look, overall, I mean, the Petrie's game nearly gave the win to North, but... luckily for us, Watson and McInnes were able to hold Tarrant and Black. They didn't get any goals.
Great effort.
Yeah. So and that enabled Henderson to stay forward, and that was the difference in the end.
I thought McInnes played a very good game actually, and was I thought he played a very good game. Watson still very slow on the turn, but he did all right as well.
Yeah, he's under pressure. He's all right for a young fella.
So, any other comments you guys want to make on the North game?
They could have won that easily, right? So, I reckon that's the first game this year where we got a break.
They could have had us done to rights by the end of the first quarter, I think. I mean, they were that dominant kicking forward. They missed a lot. I mean, a lot. In that
and
first
nearly
quarter.
Every year, they find a way, North Melbourne, to make me feel embarrassed for them with some of the stuff they do to try and get a crowd that here comes the boom when Brent Harvey kicked that goal in the first quarter. That was like, I shook my head. There was a couple of years ago when they ran out and they had fire pots either side of them as well.
Yeah,
look, we can't move on without mentioning other games such as Kate Simpson. He's in a rich vein of form after a slow start to the season. As far as having sure hands and desperation. Now, we worry about players that sort of corral the opposition or don't, you know, sort of marking space rather than going after the man. Now, Simpson's, he's just, the ball's there. I'm going to get it first, no matter what. And in some of the pickups and give offs when we're in really, really dangerous situations, he's back at his very best at the moment. I haven't seen him any better. He was. And aside from that, how good is it to see the likes of Ed Curno and Zach Tui kicking a couple of goals each? You know, getting the players that don't usually kick goals. Now Tui does, when he does get a chance, he's deadly. When he does venture forward, but seeing Curno get a couple of goals, and that was one of Curno's best games ever for the club, in my view.
Did you see his leg speed when Garlett and Betts made that break? He kept up with them in leg speed. I didn't think he was that fast. I knew he had a tank, and then he was there to get the reserve to kick the goal. Remember that one? That was his second goal, I think.
Yeah, that was a great goal. From the end I was sitting at, I was sitting with the members up on the third level, and it was the end that Watson had kicked from. So watching them run away from us, I saw the three of them, and at first I didn't think it was Curno.
Yeah.
Because they're all bunched up together, but when they sort of spread out a little bit and I could see all their numbers, I was like, yeah, that's Curno.
He had showed a lot of leg speed in that to get away to a better position to receive the ball from Betts.
Yeah, no, I'm
surprised at that.
Does Dennis Armfield seem a little bit? He's lost a little bit of pace lately.
Just seems a little off.
I don't think he knows what he's. I don't think he's been played right. Like whether he's not playing right himself, or whether he's not being played in his usual position, or he's just constantly having to play negative. He can't. He's not playing attacking footy, and that's where he's best served.
Well, he started in the centre. He started, in the ruck.
Did he?
Yeah, on the bounce.
That's a nice move from centre half back.
Yeah, he's going to say, yeah.
our potential all star centre half back.
He played ruck, but he played centre bounces.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I didn't notice.
I think it was through most of the first quarter, at least.
Okay.
So I think they're mucking moving him around a bit.
It's entirely possible. Look, I'd like to move on, if that's okay with you guys. Day came to the world in the usual way, but there are planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking for a minute, and as he grew, he said, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't. Then you know we'll have a good time there. I want to, as I foreshadowed to you guys yesterday, I want to, the main board podcast looked at the father-son rule, and we talked a bit about that and who, you know, who were the best people recruit under father-son rule, and, you know, the conclusion there was probably Gary Ablett, in that regard, just for his, for the sheer number of All Australians, premierships and, you know, Brownlows and everything combined. But I wanted to have a, as an offshoot of that, I wanted to have a look at the Carlton father-son recruits and the people that we missed out on and the people that ended up at other clubs that we could have, you know, got if things had gone a little bit better for us. And, you know, so last night we looked at things purely from 1988. The father-son rule came in 1949. If you're wondering, the first player to be recruited under the father-son rule was actually a Carlton player. It was Harvey Dunn Jr.
I didn't know any of that.
Well, there you go. Yeah, well, 1949 and Harvey Dunn Jr., which according to the Blueseum, he was the son of Harvey Dunn, oddly enough, who played 70, who played 71 games from 1924 with the Blues. And of course, our most recent father-son was Jim Buckley. Dylan Buckley, yeah. The son of Jim Buckley. But I mean, we've been very hit and miss over the years. If you have a look down, I mean, I don't know a hell of a lot about some of the early guys like the Beezys, Gills, Stevensons, Ned and Murray Kick. Those guys a little bit further back than I have any knowledge of. Where it picks up for us, perhaps. Is the Bizzusto. Peter Bizzusto was the son of Bob Bizzusto, who played 20 games in 1955. And then whoever Rowan Burke was in 1981, he played 18 games for us. I don't remember him at all.
I do.
ODN?
Yeah, I remember. Well, I can't say much. I can't tell you much about him, but I certainly remember.
Made a lasting impact then. Mark Williams, the son of John Williams. He played 19 games from 1983. I don't remember him either.
These are all father-son selections, eh?
Yep, all father-son selections taken by Carlton.
Even though Bizzusto, I thought he was signed on some sort of a form from you know, coming from interstate. So I understand the Victorian ones, they'd probably be... we had our own regions that we had to recruit from.
Yeah, no, apparently this was father-son, so...
Wow, okay.
This is the Blueseum, so I mean, it could be, you know, it's not holy writ, but it's close enough. Stephen Silvani was taken as a father-son pick in 1985. Obviously, the son of Serge, well known, and that's where it starts to get from. So, you've got Serge, you've got Lance Whitnell, Jared Waite. These are the guys that were probably successful enough to be mentioned in the upper echelon of Carlton players. Michael James, on the other hand, only played 12 games, the son of John James.
I was unaware Whitnell was the father's son.
Yes, he was the son of Graham Whitnell, who played 66 games for Carlton starting in 1974.
Well, there you go. I was too young.
There you go. David Clark, who played a whole 12 games. We should have known that he wasn't going to play many. His dad only played 9 games. How we got him under father-son rules is in 2004 is beyond me, because I thought it actually changed.
I'm thinking, Wookie, that Blueseum might be referring to just fathers and sons who have played for the club rather than taken under a father-son selection.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm pretty sure it's listed on Wikipedia under the father-son rule as well, David Clark. So, Luke Blackwell was recruited... under father-son, the son of Wayne Blackwell, but only played 23 games and won a Sandover medal after he went home to Western Australia. So he did all right. Dylan Buckley, of course, still at Carlton. But what's funny, we've possibly talked about this before, is the guys that we actually missed out on, because their dads didn't play enough games or their sons chose to go elsewhere.
Oh, yes, there's a couple of big ones.
Now, here's where you can grind your teeth a little bit. Where do we start? We'll go back. Brett Deledio.
Mm-hmm.
His dad played one game for Carlton, apparently.
That should have been enough.
So
if the other guy can get in on 9.
Matthew Lloyd, his dad, was John Lloyd, played 29 games. That's pretty well known.
We didn't want him.
Yeah, I'm glad that we didn't get that guy.
He might have been a totally different bloke. He wore the famous old dart name.
Oh, look, and if he had supporters such as Jab cheering for him, giving him constructive
he might have
advice
been a different...
on the sidelines, he might have been a different bloke. Yeah.
Might have been a different
if
man.
And maybes, the one time I had to deal with him, he wasn't impressed that I wasn't after his autograph, but, you know.
He might have been a different man if he was playing second fiddle to Favola the whole time.
He's dumb as dog shit, that's for sure.
He's an annoying guy. Tom Mitchell is another one that we could have got if his dad had played 12 more games for Carlton.
He's going to be good.
And we could have used a forward, you know. Sam and Ben Reed.
Oh.
Both of them now are playing pretty well at Collingwood and Sydney. Their dad, Bruce Reed, played 33 games for Carlton. So we missed out there as well, and that's a big one.
Yeah, we could really use both of them at either end.
Perhaps more so than Ken Sheldon's son Sam, who
went to Brisbane.
Sorry,
Sheldon's son we get outbid or just decide to not go after him?
We decided not to go for him. I think.
Yeah. That's what I remember. Even though he's the one that did kick that goal in 1979.
We've bypassed one of the Dominators' sons in the past. We've bypassed Diesel Williams' son. And I think Mike Fitzpatrick had a son coming through that we decided wasn't up to it.
Well, there's a couple of guys who ended up at... didn't quite get a game, apparently, according to the Blues EM as well. They got a go at Carlton, but they didn't manage to play a senior game. Matthew Lloyd's brother, apparently, Simon, didn't actually get a senior game. Chris Mulcair was our second father-son pick since it was made part of the draft. He didn't play a senior game. David Walls is a big one, didn't play a senior game. Lance Whitnell's brother didn't play a senior game. Ken Hunter's son didn't play a senior game. David Mackay's son didn't play a senior game. Rod Austin's son didn't play a senior game. So there's a few people that... because here I was, I thought for ages that Mark Austin was related to Rod Austin, but he's not.
I looked into that because I was actually asked when I first started talking about Mark Austin. I was asked if he was related, and I had to go look into it.
No, apparently not. But there's another guy who was doing okay at the Bulldogs after he left us. So,
yeah, the father sons I've been looking forward to since early 2000s has got to be Sauce's boys coming up. If all three can be good enough, we got ourselves a back line.
Well, I think Harry Madden's kid's coming through as well.
Yeah, Rice's kid as well.
Oddly enough, Harry Madden's kid's not that tall, from memory. I think the father son academy that we've got going there.
Yeah, I
think we should engineer a new father son academy, like what Faz, I think it was suggesting on one of the boards, where we go out and find all the athletically gifted, attractive females, and just start systematically mating them with our football players. So
you turn into another Orion race.
Yes,
Aryan race.
We're going genetic manipulation.
it has gone in other directions as well. I mean, we did recruit Josh Bootsma, who was eligible to be recruited by Freo.
We got Mark Murphy.
Mark Murphy elected to go into the draft rather than be taken under the father-son rule.
Yeah.
So we didn't actually get Murphy under father-son, though.
Yeah.
But,
Boy, don't they hate him for it up there?
Don't they hate him for it? Not as much as us getting Bryce Gibbs, who was eligible to go to Adelaide, I think, under...
Yeah.
Who could have... If the rules had been the same all over, he would have been able to go to Adelaide under father-son. But because there's a different rule for South Australia, and the rule's different between South Australia and Western Australia, I might add, for whatever reason.
I know a few Adelaide supporters that are bleeding about Bryce Gibbs not being able to go to him under father-son.
If I recall correctly, they thought that his father had played enough games, but they were counting some sort of representative game or exhibition type game or something, or pre-season games that the AFL deemed ineligible closer to the deadline. So yeah, they thought for a while that he was theirs, and then it was AFL cruelly pulled the rug out from underneath them.
Good on the
About
AFL.
About time it worked in our favour.
So, I don't know. I haven't looked into. I ran out of time, unfortunately, today to look into the into the future guys that are coming up. But there are a few potentials coming. Unfortunately, they're all coming up around the same time.
Unfortunately.
Well,
we have ourselves a team.
We can only take one or two a year, so
we're not going to be able to pick three
in a year because the bidding system won't allow it if they're any good, unless we can hide them off in the country, like West Coast used to do.
Yeah, it's we could try because then we could have like all the sons of the 1995 team coming through. And the only disappointing thing for me is Sticks had all girls.
Yeah.
Get the girls involved in that academy idea of yours.
Oh, if they look like Sticks, they're probably not
going to... I would suggest that, but, you know, that's not going to get us a forward line in the next few years. We'd have Sauce's kids coming up for the back half, and we'd have Sticks' kids coming up for the forward half. You know, we're pretty much there.
It'd be like Silvani's everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, Sauce to Goss to Sauce Goss.
Oh, so there are a few players coming through. We've been very hit and miss to date, though. Like the stats tell us that, you know, half of the players we recruit under father son aren't going to amount to much in the navy blue, unfortunately. So hopefully that doesn't hold true. Hopefully things like this academy that we've got going down at Carlton they help that matter along a bit. I think it's great. Like just being able to see guys, I think it really does make a club out of the club. To be able to have those guys come back and bring their kids
it's
back.
It's just one place on the list, and the romance of the whole thing is fantastic, and it's unique, and you know, they've made it fairer because of the bidding system. You know, you still might, if you've got an absolute star, you might go, you know, in the top couple, and you don't get them until you have to use pick 14 or something. Well, you've lucked out, but the bidding system's made it a lot fairer than it used to be for everybody else.
I would hate to see it go. I think it's one of the great parts of our game that make it.
I agree.
And I really would hate to see that go. Yeah. Anyway, last thoughts on the father-son rule before we move on.
We need to make some sort of contract deal with the Australian netball team or something to get our own academy going.
Maybe we should have our own netball team. We had a soccer team once.
Yeah, just some sort of... Yeah, or field hockey, that might be a good one.
Soccer team's probably the same as a netball team anyway, really.
I said in the main board podcast last night that Luke Darcy was taken under the mother-son rule for the Queensland Firebirds. But,
may as well have been. We're going to move into the final segment that we have, and that is to talk about the game coming up on the weekend against the Gold Coast. And this is something of a danger game for us, since we lost the last time we played against them. And this game will be 14th against 9th. The Suns with 6 wins, Carlton with 8 wins, percentage of 90.1 against 110.6, and... yeah, we lead them in... Well, actually, we don't lead them. They lead us in disposals. They're equal with us in clearances. They're 2 behind us on inside 50s. 2 behind us in contested possessions. 1 behind us in tackles. They're well behind us in hitouts. And level with us on free kicks. So, stats-wise, this is a very, very even game. Last time we played, Gold Coast 98 defeated Carlton 86 at Metricon. We are playing this game at Metricon. And this will be, I believe, a Saturday afternoon at 1:45, which ODN is apparently not going to.
What?
It's up in the air, guys. Let's not go into that.
last time we played, Tom Lynch kicked 4 goals and picked up 3 Brownlow medal votes for this. We have only 2 wins from 7 games at Carrara. Bearing in mind we played a game against Frio there a couple of years ago that we lost. The one time we sold a game to Carrara.
Yeah, let's not think about that game.
So, 2 from 7 at Carrara, and, Ablett has kicked 21 goals against us from 11 matches, but he has been utterly towed at times as well by our favourite scapegoat, Aaron Joseph, so... goes to show the best player in the AFL can be whipped by one of the worst players at Carlton. Depending on who you ask. Sorry, Mr. Carlton.
I'm really glad this is an afternoon game and not a night game. Having been at that game last year and seeing the way we were handling the ball, it just seems like a cake of soap to our players, and I think it just had something to do with the dew that was around at the time. You know, you get a bit of humidity, plus it was, cooler weather, and it was quite dewy, and Gold Coast were used to those conditions. They were handling the ball fantastically, so we were getting enough of it. We were just turning it over constantly, so I don't think that will happen being an afternoon match, so that sort of squares off the conditions a little bit for us. Can I just making a note? Carlton have had 7 changes from the team that played up Metricon last year. Mm. 7 changes. We've got Bootsma, Robinson, Jamison, Henderson, Lucas, Rowe, and Watson in. Bell, Casbolt, Dygan, Allard, McInnes, Waite, and White are out. So we're slightly ahead. You know, with the Robinson, Jamison, Henderson, especially, and so. That's a positive for us, but Gold Coast have had 12 changes. I'm not going to go through them all, but because they were very under strength last year. But looking at the likes of O'Meara, Nichols, Prestia, Tate, Thompson, Brennan, Broughton, Day, the sort of players that weren't playing last time, and the only real players of note that aren't there, probably Caddy, Lynch, and Matera. If you want to click Matthew Warnock, if you want to count, experienced defenders. So Gold Coast have got a lot more quality ins than we have from the last time we played them. So, we don't want to kid ourselves. I mean, I've seen people talking about how we should have been resting players and whatnot. This is going to be a full-on 50-50 match, and we cannot underestimate Gold Coast by any stretch.
Absolutely not, and I'm not. I note that Charlie Dixon's named back in for the Gold Coast Suns, so they've gone in with an extra tall.
Yeah.
Whereas we've actually had to drop McInnes with a groin injury.
Yeah.
And Jared Kashia is going to miss this game as well. Apparently, just omitted.
A bit of a surprise, wasn't it? Because you look at Ablett O'Meara. Bennell, these are sort of the sort of players you'd think if we were going to have some taggers doing some work out there, this would be a good game for it. Absolutely, we're going to tag Ablett. There's no two ways about it. And we'd be crazy not to have somebody keeping a bit of a close eye on O'Meara.
I worry because this effectively means Bootsma, Casbolt's named as an emergency as well. Which means we're worried about being able to play, which means Henderson will probably end up playing at centre-half back, I think. And I expect, because I don't expect Bootsma to play centre-half back.
No, so. Watson's in the side, so, I mean, Jamison and Watson could be, but the thing is, having Watson and Bootsma doesn't fill you with as much confidence as somebody with the... I guess the level-headedness and the physical development that's in McInnes, because he's a good reader of the play. We lose something there, which is probably, we didn't have anybody else we could bring in for McInnes.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're going to bring up Laidler or Dygan, who haven't barely played all year.
It really does show just how out of favour those two are, though.
Yeah.
Like that they, in a game where McInnes is injured and they're bringing in extra tools, and Gold Coast already play a tall forward line, to not bring Laidler in and to just keep running with Boots, well, I think I very much am concerned for Laidler's future at Carlton at the end of the year, as well as Dygan. Since,
yeah. But, Gold Coast smashed us last year, in the, but then again, our key backs in that game, if you remember, were White and McInnes. Yeah. And one of them was injured in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Again, White's another one I'm surprised didn't get a game with McInnes out too. White's
out for the season.
Oh, he is too, of course, sorry.
He's, he hurt his neck.
Yeah, otherwise Malthouse would have selected him last week, apparently. So, how are we...
He only hurt his neck this week.
Malthouse said he would have been picked if he hadn't injured himself, apparently, so...
No, he played NFL.
Yeah, he played against Box Hill in the wet and got his neck hurt, and that's a muddy affair.
You sure? Because I watched the game and I didn't see him play.
I'm pretty sure I saw him playing. Yeah, maybe. A little bit I saw him.
Maybe. I didn't see him play at all.
Get off the booze, mate.
Given I sat there for 2 hours stripping the highlights out of the game, I'm pretty sure I would have noticed him playing. But anyway.
Yeah, see, I only watched like half an hour of the game.
Yeah, see, I watched the whole thing. But yeah, anyway.
I saw us dominate that half an hour as well.
Oh, second quarter. yeah. And then the second half where anyone was lucky to score, that was an abominable ground. I don't know how anyone is. AFL players must go back to these wet, miserable grounds, playing in front of nobody.
Love it when they do that.
And just go, what the fuck am I doing here?
I was at a game last year, a VFL game, and it was wet and muddy, like probably a bit more so than that. And at quarter time and three quarter time, when they had the huddles, they actually had people come out with hoses, hosing off the VFL players because they were that muddy, you couldn't see the uniforms they were wearing.
What a way to come down, though. If you've been dropped to the seconds, it's like you really would not want to turn up again for the next week. Like if you could get into the seniors again,
that's the charm for me, is the way it's like that muddy old school, you know, style grounds.
Yep, that's how it was when I was a kid, mate.
Yep.
Running around on stupid muddy grounds like Chelsea.
Yep, that's exactly it.
And watching the rubbish come up because they built the thing on a tip. But anyway.
Anyway, I'm not very prepared for talking about this upcoming game because I won't be watching it because it's got that stupid delay on TV for me, the 90 minutes.
It is across the country, this game.
I won't be able to not check the score. And
won't be shown in Sydney, though, on free-to-air TV. It will be on Foxtel. But I reckon I even get it live in Adelaide.
Maybe I should head over to Adelaide.
No, delayed here as well. 90-minute delay.
Well, yeah, that's what we got. We got 90-minute delay. I won't help myself be able to check. And then last year I was busy out with a mate drinking when we played. So I haven't seen last year's game, and I'm not going to see this year's game.
Well, I'll be out drinking for this weekend. I don't think I'll be home. Actually, no, I might wake up in time to watch this. But if you're in Sydney, your only option is Foxtel for this game.
Because
they all be getting Collingwood and the Giants, apparently.
Yeah, no, I'll be at the VFL this week.
Nice. Who are we playing this week?
I don't know who Northern Blues are playing. That's not the one I'm going to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to the Port Melbourne game.
Be like that, then.
Yeah. We're playing Box Hill, which is why I was watching the Northern Blues game last weekend.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not sure who we've got this weekend on the for the North.
Girlfriend and a few friends went to high school with Savage, who plays for Hawthorn.
Oh, okay, and yep.
Well, yeah, whenever we play Box Hill in the VFL, Port Melbourne, me and my friends go and usually give him some over the fence about stuff that he did in high school.
as you would.
Like, I went to primary school with Bastanak, who plays for North Melbourne too. He was a year below us. He was soft as anything in primary school. He was no good.
Have the teams been announced for the Northern Blues on the weekend?
They probably have. I think they do it a little bit after the VFL, from memory. I know Port Melbourne's has, so I assume the rest of the VFL have done it.
Yeah, it's not on their website. Our Northern Blues website is pathetically updated.
One of those Sporting Pulse websites?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're terrible. I hate those websites.
Oddly enough, the AFL's half owner of Sporting Pulse. But,
yeah, but they just don't. Yeah, well, they just don't update it. Anything.
It's only half done. Okay, so what are we tipping for this game against Gold Coast guys? What do you expect?
Carlton by 36.
It's worth noting the weather prediction is apparently 21 degrees, mostly fine, possible shower.
Yeah,
on 36. Should be okay for footy. So you reckon 36, mate?
Yep, 6 goals. I reckon we'll get it done by.
Yeah, ODN.
Look, I'm really concerned about it. But I like the resolve we've had in the last couple of weeks. And I think our physical development should still be superior. And as long as we give 100% application and intensity, we will win. But I'm not expecting any big margin. I'll take any win. I just want 4 points.
Yep. Well, we have to keep winning if we're going to be a chance to play in the finals this year. Because we start losing, and then Port are going to be in like Flynn. So.
Well, Port will win this weekend against Brisbane at Amy. So we have to keep that one game behind and wait for their harder games to try to get back on even terms with them.
I think Port's next loss will come around 20 against Geelong at Skilled. But I can't see them losing much else. And then it comes down to around 23 against us in Adelaide. So they've got Gold Coast actually as well, but at Amy, so lucky them.
I think we play all right in Adelaide.
We do play all right in Adelaide.
It's a classy.
Numbers and I shall be going to that game. And that'll be something glorious if we can get a finals place on the end of it.
Yeah, it saddens me when we have to play interstate, because I get to go to pretty much every other game of the year, and then I feel a bit lost, especially when I can't watch it on TV.
Well, mate, like I said, I'll put you up here for the night for free.
Oh, I might have to take you up on that one of these days.
It only costs you like $20 to get into the footy.
Ooh, $20. Yeah, I'll also want to go to the Adelaide Port Adelaide game over there one day.
Nah, that sells out.
Yeah, I'll buy them in advance, but you know.
No, it sells out to members. Like public tickets are almost non-existent. I saw the AFL is making finals tickets cut price, apparently.
Oh, really?
Reducing the price on finals tickets they've announced today.
Oh, well, they're getting a bit ridiculous. I think for that Essendon elimination final, I paid like $150, $160.
The number of seating price categories for matches at the MCG has been increased to 7. Entry-level seating prices have been lowered by 13% across weeks 1 and 2. So it'll cost you $40 to go to the footy in the finals in the first 2 weeks. So it's not too bad. Could be worse.
Yeah, well, like I said, there's an elimination final. I got seats on level 2 or level 3, just above where I normally sit. And yeah, it cost me $150, $160 for my ticket.
Category 1 grand final ticket will set you back $399.
I've always got a little bit of a fun there for when we make the grand final. I've got my money there for my ticket. I got my Captain Cobbs membership there for my ticket as well.
Nice work. Any last comments you got before we move on?
You didn't ask me what I thought about our Gold Coast chances. I'd probably back them.
Really?
I'm not convinced about our team at all.
You are a negative Nancy, aren't you?
No. Very positive. I'm just neutral. Like, I love Carlton, but, you know, I can't see any huge changes.
You've lost faith, haven't you?
Oh, look, how many points were we ahead last week? Come on, guys.
A few.
Yeah.
But it was North. Yeah. They were always going to
win. Fluke. It was a fluke we won that game. Fluke. There you go. Good luck on Saturday.
Thanks, Jab. ending in the uplifting note there.
Get you in at halftime and give the boys a rev-up speech.
I agree with you, Happy. It'll be 36 or more our way, or they'll win.
Fair enough. That's a fair call.
Yeah, I can't fault that.
You know what I mean? If it's a real arm wrestle like they had with Collingwood last week, Well, why are we the favourites? If we blow them away, yeah, I can see that happening.
Well, you know, we do tend to panic. This year we've panicked a lot when teams come at us.
Yeah.
A couple of games we've managed to hold on, but we've given up a few leads.
Yep.
And I don't know what that says. What does that say? Does that mean you're a front runner, or what does it mean?
We've said it all before. There's no need to repeat ourselves. There's a lot of softies in the team. That hasn't changed. Sorry, only bodies moving will change that.
Yeah, but having said that, we were trying our guts out last week. We just ran out of legs.
Well, nobody talked about the players that didn't perform.
Just
did you? Everyone talked about the same seven players that did, but no one talked about the six or seven players that didn't.
Yeah. I thought the effort was there, but some people just weren't getting enough of the ball. But there were a couple of glaring things that stood out.
Before it all gets too friendly, cuddly, Wookie, I just know. I'm a negative person because I said I'm not convinced about Carlton yet. Right? Come on. You know, you beat Saints, which is what, coming third last, just. And you survive North from a 30-point lead.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Look, yeah, anyway, both of those teams were both bogey teams for us too.
True, I've broken the hoodoo there.
St Kilda have beaten us 16 out of the last 18 times we played them leading up to that round. So to get over them wasn't just about their position on the ladder. It was also about beating that hoodoo.
Oh, yes.
And the same applies to North. Yes, I get what you're saying about the team not performing as well as they could, and some people are performing below a standard that we'd like, but we are still winning, Jab.
Agreed.
That's
I'm grateful for it, but I'm not going to pin my hopes on them.
No, and that's fair enough. You don't have to. We're not talking Carlton here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, guys, I'm going to wrap it up.
Righto.
Good.
Good night, all.
Thank you very much for coming on. Odin, good night.
You're welcome. Good night, guys.
And Happy Dude, good night.
Good night.
Negative Nancy, good night.
Good night. Go the blue.
Sorry, Jeb. Couldn't help it, mate. Thank you all very much for coming aboard. Good luck on the weekend to everyone.
Birthday will be...
Happy birthday, mate.
Yeah. Who thought I would ever be old enough to be that guy from Monty Python that says, you know, how old are you? I'm 37. I'm not old. I'm 37. So good night from me, and we'll see you all on the forums.